Well, a little bit of a change of plan here. However, we're glad to say hello to Luke Panic, the deck and port specialist, and he wears a bunch of other hats as well, filling in for Andy this morning. Luke, good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you, Denny. How are you?
I'm doing quite well. Thank you for asking. St. Patrick's Day coming up here on Monday, although St. Paul will be celebrating today, it sounds like, amidst all the rain and snow, unfortunately. Again, you sent me a couple of pictures. I want to talk about that. But for those folks that don't know, we call you, and we have for years, the deck and port specialist. But give us an idea of what you do for Linus, for those maybe are new to the show.
When I got started with Linus, so I guess it's been about 15 years, we were hoping to develop the deck and porch division a little bit. Andy was a friend of mine, and so I came in as a deck and porch specialist because I had my own company for many years doing decks and porches. And so that's kind of how I got started at Linus, and then kind of morphed into also doing addition remodel, which meant into adding on to homes, porches, four-season rooms, living rooms, kitchens. Now I do a lot of remodeling stuff for people. I work with our interior designer, Cassie, and we completely rearrange a main floor, open it up. A lot of times we want to take out walls or whatever design concepts people are interested in, so I do a lot of that as well. I still do some decks here and there, but we have a team of four or five guys now that work with decks, so my role has broadened a little bit, I'd say.
Yeah, I should say. And for those that don't know, you grew up in the construction business, right?
Yeah. My father and my grandfather were home builders. And so from a very young age, I was on the job learning all the different trades. And outside of the mechanical works, I learned it all when I was young. And so it's been a part of my life, except for the 4 years I was in college, I was doing something with construction, it seems like.
Can't get away from it at all, and especially even now. I want to talk about getting a job as in the trades. We'll do that in a moment. But you sent me a couple of real interesting pictures. I was going to hold them up to the microphone, but that's not going to work. Tell us what's your next with this project is about. It really looks interesting.
Yeah, it's a project I'm doing on Lake Vermilion with my family, my sons, my wife, and my father mostly. It's a rental, a vacation rental property. That's my passion outside of Linus is to renovate or build new buildings that are designed for people to have vacations. And this one is up on Lake Vermilion, not far from Fortune Bay Casino, and in a small town called Tower, Minnesota. And it's kind of a unique design, something that's just different from a traditional looking cabin. And so we wanted to integrate a interesting ceiling. So I sent you some pictures just to show you what I'm working on today, which is what's called shiplap. It's 8-inch shiplap, which is a type of saw cut that looks a lot like just shiplap. Actually, of course, originated with ships. They would overlap the board in front of it, and then they'd fill those grooves with pine tar or whatever for a ship. But then it became useful as a wall sheathing eventually to build our home. So if you take off the siding of an old house in Minneapolis or something, you might find shiplap underneath there before we had plywood or OSB. So it's a way to sheet something. It's kind of a decorative way of doing a ceiling. So that's what we're working on here. My wife pre-finished all of those boards. Wow. And it's a big, tall, vaulted ceiling, so that's what we're working on. I thought I'd share that with you so you could kind of picture what I'm working on this week.
Yeah, really looks neat. Now, your wife, Finna, what kind of finish? Now, how did she finish it with what kind of stuff?
There, good question, Denny. This is a unique product, and we tried it on one other small bathroom remodel that we did, but it's a product called Verathane, and it's a one-step product. So what you're seeing, traditionally to get the look of that wood, it looks like a varnished wood. But what it is a one-step stain and poly. So it comes in a waterborne material, so it means you don't need mineral spirits to clean your brush. It's just water-based. And you put it on, and it gives it that color, that stain color, and the clear kind of poly finish on it all in one coat. And so It dries in about 20 minutes. It's easy to put on. It doesn't have all kinds of fumes. And it's just easy to work with. And for a ceiling, it's ideal because there's one coat on one side of the board and put it up, nail it up, and certain holes, if I've used a screw or something big, I'll fill it with a little putty. But for the most part, because it's a ceiling and it's very high, you can't even see the nails that are in it. So it's an interesting product that we've used before and really like it. And it's called Varathane, V-A-R-A-T-H-A-N-E, Varathane Stain and Poly.
I have heard of that. I haven't used it, but I have. Mm-hmm. I think I've seen it on the shelf. No, it looks gorgeous. It looks really, really beautiful. Now, you mentioned this particular property is near Tower, Minnesota?
Yeah, it's in Tower, Minnesota, yeah.
And as I recall, that can get a little chilly in Tower. How was this place insulated, if you don't mind?
Yeah, no. This property is unique in that it has a lot of windows that face the lake. It has almost no windows on the sides, and on the other side, there's only one window. So in this case, I insulated all the walls with traditional fiberglass batting, and which is a two by six wall. And then the attic in this place has what's called a parallel cord truss. So the pitch of the ceiling and the pitch of the roof are the same the entire length. And I've got a big attic space. That parallel cord truss gives us about 42 inches of space to insulate. So we insulated the ceiling with blown cellulose, which a local contractor up here did an excellent job. And then there's what you're seeing in that one picture I sent you where the ceiling is only partially done. They were able to insulate the ceiling before we put the ceiling up. And that's unusual. Usually you sheetrock, you put the poly up, you sheetrock the ceiling, and then you blow in the insulation. But they used a reinforced poly. So they stapled up that reinforced poly. It's got a bunch of fiberglass strands in it, and they put a staple about every 3 inches, so it's real durable. And then they put all the insulation in before I put the ceiling up. So that was really a neat way of doing it and making it easy so that in the winter here, when they're doing the taping and the sheetrock and all that, I had another local company up here called Mac Drywall that did a great job. They were able to do all of the walls and stuff in an insulated and heated building when it was, 20 below up here a month ago. So, I've never done it that way. It was a great way to do it.
Wow, looks great. And we know we've heard stories about the record temps in Tower, Minnesota.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Hang on. Luke, by the way, if you're just joining us, Luke Panic filling in for Andy Lindis this morning. If you have any kind of, this guy knows his stuff. So if you have any kind of a home improvement type of question, construction wise, whatever, by all means, or especially if you have a question about decks, decking, porches, things like that. Call us or text us. We'd love to hear from you. 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Again, good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to this portion of our home improvement show presented by Lindis Construction, 8449. Lindis, you want to get in touch with them, 8449 Lindis. Luke Panic. Our friend Luke Paddock is filling in for Andy Lindis today, and if you have, again, any kind of a home improvement question, especially if you want to talk about decks, decking, porches, or any construction question, we're open to it. 651-461-9226. I was looking at yet another picture. Gee, I wish I could show folks this. It looks to me like a beautiful sauna. Somebody told me it's not sauna, it's sauna. And tell us about that.
You know, that is I can't tell how many times people up here have corrected me when I say sauna. They say, no, it's a sauna. Almost all of the buildings up here around Lake Vermilion in this area have saunas. And some of them are wood fired, some of them are electric. And a lot of times they're done with cedar. And I wanted to show you that picture because that is a sauna that we did with what's called nickel gap basswood.
Basswood.
Basswood, yes. basswood is another soft wood like cedar that works really well in saunas. And it has a more modern look to it than traditional cedar. So I wanted to have something that had a little bit more of a modern look. And so that's what that is. I found a sawmill a couple of years ago on a different project up in Deer River, Minnesota, a family-owned sawmill that's been in operation for years. It's like a third generation. It's called Ryla. And they do a lot of custom milling like that. So they made the shiplap for here, and they made the nickel gap basswood for here. And it was just a beautiful material. It's a real pale. It almost looks, reminds me of like clear maple.
Yeah.
So it's a very light colored wood. But we've got that finished up here, I don't know, a week or two ago. And so now I get my morning, I do my morning stretch in there. And so my old bones are, get the muscles get stretched out a little bit. I find it very, there's a lot to be said about the benefits of sauna. And so I do it regularly to stretch out in the morning when I'm doing physical work. It helps me get through the day. So that's what it looks like.
Oh, that really is neat. I got a couple of other questions about that. But Wally is calling in from Minneapolis with a question. Let's find out. Wally, good morning. What is your question for Luke?
Good morning, Luke. Well, I've had an estimate for my attic to be insulated by you guys. And then I got another estimate, and the person said, well, you can't insulate your attic because you have knob and tube, or tube and knob wiring. It's an old house, and he says you have to have the wiring upgraded before we can do any insulation. Do you know anything about that?
I do, Wally, and that is a true statement. A lot of it has been replaced. The old knob and tube has been replaced. But when we go into an attic and we find that old knob and tube wiring, we need to have that removed. And that's a electrical thing, which I am not an expert in, but I know that we require that be the case. And really, it's for safety. Electrical fires are very common, and the old knob and tube can be very dangerous. So what we like to do is have all that removed. We have our electricians can do that, but it needs to be removed before we can insulate the attic. So good question.
Yeah, interesting. Thanks for the call. Again, if you want to call in your home improvement question, that's doable. Or if it's easier, just send Luke a text at 651-461-9226. Before we get back to the text messages, again, looking, it's always fun to have you on the show for a lot of reasons, but you have so many, because of your experience and what you're doing now besides Linda's Construction, seeing these great projects. Getting back to this sauna. Now, you talk about some of them up there are wood-fired, some are not, they're other fuel. But what are the rules and regs of you know, if I added a stove to my porch or something, I mean, there's certain things that, code-wise, what has to take place when someone builds a sauna?
Well, the codes for a sauna are the same for any other room in your house as far as electrical and heating or cooling or anything like that. So it really depends on how you're going to heat your sauna. If it's an electric sauna, which the reason I like electric in this case is for the convenience of not having to bring in firewood and the mess when you're doing a rental and it's getting cleaned all the time. It's kind of it can be a hassle. I would say it's not as authentic as technically a good finished sauna. You have a wood fire and you burn birch is the best for a sauna. Now, why is that? I don't know. People just prefer birch for the odor. Maybe it has a little bit different smell. I don't know. But, and you should have a sauna hat, Dennis. So if you want to have an authentic sauna, you should wear a finished sauna hat, which is like a felt hat. So that, and the whole idea is so that your head doesn't overheat. You want to roast evenly throughout, like a turkey, as you're heating up your body. You want even heat all the way around. And that sauna hat, if you Google it, and it's quite a funny, it looks like a gnome hat. But that helps your head not overheat, so you can evenly kind of cook in there. But nonetheless, codes, what you're saying is if you're going to heat it with a wood fireplace, now you're talking about tolerances, because you've got this dry wood in there. Obviously, we're worried about fire. So you want to have the right heat shields and that are protecting that wood. So they're usually big steel plates that radiate and protect and provide a heat gap between that sauna furnace and the wall. And then also it needs to be vented properly. And I can speak firsthand experience of a sauna of my family, of my father-in-law up in Canada. We had one that was just kind of a self-built sauna, and it actually burned down because of how it was vented up through the attic. Fire got too hot. We woke up one morning to a sauna that was gone. It was a pile of ash. It was very dangerous. So making sure that your sauna wood fire is protected and vented properly with the Class A piping and double, it's not something to do yourself if you're not familiar with that. Electric ones are a lot more tolerant of their spacing and their heat. Like this new one that I sent you a picture of, that is an electric heater, and it only requires a 2-inch tolerance. It hangs on the wall in about a 2-inch gap from the wall, and you can turn that thing on and heat the sauna up to 190 degrees, and you have no issues whatsoever. They also make infrared saunas, which is really common. These ones you can go buy at a home show that are a little looks like a miniature closet. They're heated with infrared, and those are also a lot more user-friendly for heat and tolerances as far as heating up. So as far as codes go, they have to be wired correctly. They have to have some of these have bigger circuits. This one that I showed you has a 50-amp circuit, so it takes a lot of electricity. It's like a giant toaster, basically, so it's all electric. You got to wire them correctly, of course, and make sure that you're using the right wire and conduit. These heavy circuits have conduits all the way around them, all the way back to the panel. Some of the infrared ones have a little bit lighter wiring. So it's very specific with the electric ones as far as how they need to be wired. So that would be the code requirement or things you need to check on. And then if it's a wood fire, you want to make sure that it's someone who's experienced or a fireplace company that knows how the sauna wood fire should be protected properly so you don't have fire issues.
Yeah, makes sense. Luke, hang on. We're going to take a break, see what that weather forecast calls for. Luke Panik filling in for Andy Lindis today. We've been talking about a variety of things. Always fun. But if you can ask any home improvement type of question, we welcome yours at 651-461-9226. That'll get you a phone call or a text question for Luke. Hang on, Luke. We'll take this break. Be back on the other side after the forecast. From Newstalk 830, this is WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back to our home improvement show presented every week by our friends at Lindus Construction, L-I-N-D-U-S. Andy Lindus taking the day off today. Luke Panik, our friend Luke Panik from Lindus Construction, is filling in for Andy today, talking about a whole bunch of different things, but certainly welcoming any kind of a home improvement question you may have, either by phone or by text, 651-461-9226. Here's a text, Luke. Listener says, we live in a one-level home. We had an energy-saving visit performed by our natural gas company. They did a complete insulation inspection using an infrared camera. It showed heat loss around our windows and baseboard areas. What would you recommend to remedy that problem?
Well, typically, the solution to that is to replace that window with a energy-efficient window. Oftentimes, we get a lot of air infiltration around leaky windows, so that's not unusual, for sure. So that's the easy solution. The baseboard heat escaping or moving around baseboard or being cold down there commonly is because there's gaps in between the framing when you put your plate the top of a floor. Oftentimes they aren't sealed or silicone, or a lot of times we put adhesive down between that plate and the floor. And if that's not done properly, you can get cold air moving around underneath the wall plate. So that's why you're seeing it along the floor. Also the reason you're seeing it along the floor is that cold air falls. So when you're heating up the air and the air is rising and it gets over against that cold wall where there's glass, that cold air will fall and sink to the lowest point of the room, and so that's where that can collect. We call that a convection loop. And so as that cycle continues, as the cold air gets all near the wall and then it falls, you see the color on your infrared camera. You see it turn bright red there where the heat is able to escape, or it's chilly. So that's what we see all the time, and it's not unusual.
Well, I think back of the different shows that you and I and Andy have talked about, and I've had it done here years ago. A utility company, I'm not sure how detailed a test they did, but boy, Lindus does it from top to bottom, from your attic all the way down your basement. And that can really tell you a lot, can it not?
Yeah, it opens your eyes. Andy refers to it as a heat map. And what that is basically is just kind of going through the whole house. The attic is number one. The attic create if a poorly insulated attic or moreover a poorly sealed attic creates all kinds of havoc in the rest of the house. When you have all that heat rising, that pressure of that hot air wanting to rise like a hot air balloon, if it's able to escape through the ceiling and into the attic, it has to replace that air other places. So as that air is leaving, it's got to pull air in, has a negative pressure effect, it pulls air in through your windows and your doors. So you can have the drafts you're feeling around your outlets and your windows can be caused by that stack effect that's happening inside the house. So we always start with the attic first as the most critical place to deal with. And then you look at the windows and doors, and then you look at the wall insulation and other areas to seal up. But it all starts with the attic, and that's why we pay most attention to that to begin with.
Luke, for listeners just joining us, Luke and I were talking about saunas. Luke has had experience in building those and using those and learning how to correctly pronounce the word sauna. But a listener wants to know, how, with the heat and humidity, how does that wood last so long? How do you protect the wood, I guess, is their question.
That's a really good question. That's a great question. And I was curious about that, too, when I first got started with this. And when you put, like I said, typically saunas are done either with cedar or, like I said, basswood. And you don't put any sort of sealant or polyurethane or anything on those. And I think primarily because you don't want to have, when you're heating these rooms up, you don't want to have any fumes or anything radiating off of that material. So a sauna is always left completely natural. There's no coatings, there's no stain, no varnish, no poly, anything on it. And because it dries out, it's allowed to dry. It lasts a long time. And cedar indoors is a wood that is the naturally rot resistant, and evidently so is basswood. So it's important that, I think, as long as they're allowed to dry out. Now, if it stayed wet and damp and never dried out, of course you'd have all kinds of problems, but they dry in between use, they dry out. And then when you think about it, go on a cruise ship or go to a hotel or you go to your fitness center, you know, there's no shellac, there's no paint, there's no sealer on. They're just natural woods. That's just how it's done. You can clean them. I've looked into different ways of cleaning them, but you use mostly just water, maybe a little bit of a hydrogen peroxide in the water you can use to sanitize them from time to time. But for the most part, they're just, they kind of maintain themselves. It's pretty cool.
Has Lindus ever been called upon to doing any remodeling or building, asked to put in a sauna at people's homes?
I have been a part of a couple of them where I've done some design work and remodeling of existing saunas. It's pretty unusual, so I don't know any projects outside of the ones that I've been a part of, and I've only been part of, I think, two. So it's pretty unusual, but there's no reason we can't. I'd love to put in a sauna for somebody. Yeah. There's no reason we can't. They're becoming more and more popular. There's just a lot of health benefits to it. What you first thing you notice is you start to get in there is your heart, your pulse starts to climb. So it causes circulation. It has anti-inflammatory properties for your joints. It's kind of, it improves cellular regeneration, so your cells regenerate. There's a lot that goes on. Even better is when you do a cold plunge after it. So up here in Lake Vermilion, I'll go into the cold water after that. Even when there's ice on the water, you know, you see the polar plunge. People do that all the time. That's actually very beneficial for you. And I know it sounds crazy and shocking, but I'll tell you, you don't need a cup of coffee after you spend 3 minutes in 34-degree water. You don't need a cup of coffee, Denny.
No, I'm telling you, it's not going to happen.
It's amazing. It's not going to happen. Okay. Well, I'll have to work on you.
Sauna, yes. Ice water, no. I'm sorry.
No.
I'll get back to you on that one. Okay.
All right.
I'm looking at.
You come out of a sauna at 200 degrees for 20 minutes. Cold water does sound like a bad idea.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, because it can get really oppressive, I suppose. Yeah. I tried that when I was on a Good Neighbor tour. I was in Kitzbühel, Austria, and I thought, what is this room? But my golly, it was a sauna. So I tried it. But you're right, though. It really is refreshing. I don't know what it did, but it certainly felt good. It's like hitting yourself with a hammer. It feels good when I stop, but it's
I can remember my time at Gustavus down in St. Peter when I was in college, and they had a sauna next to the pool and an exit door. And during J term, we would go into that sauna and then out that door and into the snowbank and roll around in the snow and go back into the sauna. I mean, it's not a new technology. It was a quick roll in the snow, but it feels great.
I feel like we're doing a show in preparation of St. Urho's Day being the finish. But that's another story. I'm looking at a text, and it doesn't say what kind of steps, but Randy and Chaplin sent a text saying, what paint can I use on my steps? Now, I'm not sure what material the steps are made out of.
Yeah. I wonder if we're talking about an interior staircase, do you think?
Well, let's go with that thought, because I can't imagine doing an exterior concrete paint, you know?
Yeah. So interior paint on a stair tread, I have done. I have done that, and you want to use, for sure, you want to use a classification called an enamel. An enamel has a very, very hard and durable surface to walk on. When I've done that, I recently had a spiral staircase that had oak, naturally varnished oak stair treads, and I wanted to paint them black. So what I did was I sanded those to give them a little bit of texture. I oil-based primed it, and then I put a hard oil-based enamel on it, and I put just a little bit of sand grit in that paint, so because once you paint a solid plank like that, it can be slippery. So I put just a little bit of sand in the paint, and so as I painted that, you could feel a little bit of grit there. So you'd imagine in the wintertime coming down a flight of steps with some dry socks and a dry house, that those treads can be slick. So I put a little sand in there and then paint it. You just want to go to Sherwin-Williams or First Fields or a good paint store like that and say, hey, I want a good hardy enamel for my stair treads, and that would be the right paint to use.
In fact, I did that very thing but a couple of months ago, and I used, again, that 3M product. It's like a grit tape toward the end of those treads. And that helped, because it can be really slippery, very dangerous. So think about that.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Oh, boy, the texts are coming in here. Should you clean your soffit vents? How often and the best way to clean them?
Great question. And so many times we go to homes where the intake is there. It's just not functional because they haven't maintained them. The vents that need to be cleaned are the vents that are cut in. So if you have a wood soffit and then you see the little rectangle vents out there, they're usually either 4 inches by 12 inches or 8 inches by 12 inches, but they look like little registers. What's behind those is a screen, and that screen, as air is being sucked in, picks up, you know, all the little dust and pollen, and those screens get clogged up. So you can do a couple of things. I think the easiest way is if you can get up to them, safely. You can vacuum them with shop vac. You can try and blow them out with an air compressor. Those would be one of the two ways to do it. I think the best way is to get up there with a shop vac that has a bristled a brush on the end of it and suck it up from the outside. That's the best way to take care of it. Now, if you have vented aluminum soffit, those don't need to be cleaned. Those are have big enough holes that they don't get clogged up. So,
very good. Luke, hang on. Running up against the clock here. Let's take a quick break. Be right back with the remaining moments of our Home Improvement Show here on News Talk 830 WCCO. And welcome back to the remaining minutes of our Home Improvement Show presented by Lindis Construction. You'd like to get in touch with those folks? 844-9-LINDIS. Call them this coming week. Luke Panic filling in for Andy Lindis today. Luke, we have a caller. Let's get Tom in Roseville on the horn here. Tom, good morning. Thanks for waiting. What is your question for Luke?
Yes, thank you for taking the call. I've got about a 200 square foot sun porch that's clearly three season. When we bought this home just less than a year ago, it had screens on the sun porch and wasn't keeping water out with this particularly wet spring last year. And so I had storm windows put on, but the roof is not insulated, and the roof is gutters, a series of gutters connected together. They're interwoven or interlapped and overlapping each other with every so often then a skylight or just a clear plastic panel between these gutter segments. And I was wondering if they could be insulated with foam or in some way to insulate the ceiling so I could get a little more time of the year to use this three-season porch.
And, Luke, we got a couple of minutes to go.
So you would need to get insulated glass. A clear panel, single pane, plexiglass, or whatever those are not going to hold any heat. So I would say that you need to have the attic or the ceiling looked at so that we can put insulated glass in there for your sub. An insulated glass just means that it's two panes with an airspace. Then it will drastically improve its ability to hold heat.
Okay. We have a follow-up question, and I know we're almost out of time, but the listener who wanted to ask a question about painting steps, these are outdoor concrete steps. I'd use epoxy with a grit myself, but.
Yeah, well, of course, I don't know that you can use that epoxy stuff, like the garage floor stuff outside. I'm not familiar with that. I don't know, but I can tell you you can definitely stain the concrete and make stains at Simstone. You get a stain, put it on there, and then you can use a clear coat over it that's designed for outdoor use, like you would put on stamped concrete. So
that would even be safer, I would think.
Yeah, much safer.
Yeah, excellent. And let's see, there's another text. Do we have time? Yes, we do. Listener was hearing your comment about the work in Lake Vermilion. They have a place up there that needs work also. We're getting you more business. But Lindis doesn't travel that far, right?
Typically, no. We have done some work up here. We did do a metal roof on an island up here that was unusual with a customer that was down there. So, check with us to see what the project is. But no, we don't typically go that far. But perhaps we can help steer, or I may, because of my work that I've been doing up here, I may be able to steer them in the right direction. So it's always worth a phone call.
And just a little plug also, what was the name of that millwork company you had mentioned? I think it was Deer River.
Yeah, in Deer River. It's called Ryla, and the it's spelled R-A-J-A-L-A. And Ryla Company is a sawmill. They saw their own trees, they have their own, and then they do their own milling, their own drying, and they are the lumber yard right from the tree to the plank that shows up at your house. It's a really neat product and a good company.
Well, Luke, always fun. Thanks very much, and enjoy that sauna, and I know we'll talk again one of these days.
Sounds good. Take care, Danny.
All right, very good. Luke Panic from Lindis Construction. Yeah, 844-9-LINDIS. Give him a call if you have a project in mind.